Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two on the show. Glad to have you with us today. Jacob Albrecht, Paul Savage in for Tommy on this Wednesday. The IHOP hotline is open for you, and it is brought to you by IHOP. You can visit IHOP and try the new IF movie-inspired menu flavors like Blue's Dazzleberry Pancakes. On that hotline, you'll have a chance to win a prize from HTO later in this hour, 2 free iced tea cards. So stay tuned for your chance to win that. We can get back into the Royals a little bit. Paul, first thing I want to talk about, and we are expecting Kevin Saul, Wichita State's athletic director, in just a little bit. Want to, you know, get the latest on what's happening with the softball program and the AAC tournament happening this week. Maybe Gene Stevenson's gift, the news from last week. So we'll try and chase down Kevin Saul. Paul, let's talk about real quick the NIL basketball tournament with, you know, potentially millions of dollars paid to the participating schools, dubbed the Players Era Festival. We had first heard about this a while ago, and in those times, we'd heard Kansas was going to be a part of it. Now, so there's new reporting on this late yesterday that there are 8 teams that are supposed to be involved in this. 7 of them are on board: Alabama, Houston, Notre Dame, Oregon, Rutgers, San Diego State, and Texas A&M. Then the Blue Bloods get mentioned for a 2025 tournament and beyond that it would expand to 16 teams. So if they have this first one, I don't know then now with this new reporting that Kansas would be involved there, but certainly in the second round, it sounds like there's interest. This to me, Paul, seems like an absolute no-brainer, right? Why, like, for these programs to be able to go, and a lot of the coaches are quoted, you know, saying, like, we'll play in the parking lot as long as the check clears. Like, for an NIL opportunity like this, if it, and it apparently is, you know, clearing all the hurdles potentially for compliance with the NCAA and everything else, if they can get that piece of it and these, you know, brands and everything are willing to come together, I'm sure put this tournament on TV and, you know, pay $1 million to the teams for playing. What a great opportunity for those programs and for those athletes of those programs to catch a little NIL money on something like that.
It makes you wonder where this could go. Now, we all assumed that this was going to happen. I'm a little surprised that it's coming this quickly. I mean, it seems like all the barriers that have been barriers over the years, those barriers are falling pretty quick, aren't they? I mean, you know, I've spent a lifetime of watching barrier after barrier for universities and for players and for athletes. And now all of a sudden they're falling, and they're falling so fast I can't even keep track of them. But of course this was coming.
Have these tournaments, Paul. Like, we already have them.
But we don't have every player getting a check from somebody for having gone and played in this tournament. And that's where we're headed with this stuff. And this is why this is going to be so popular. That's why these teams want to go, because it's a chance for not only for your yearly stipend or whatever you're doing in terms of income from individual sponsors for commercials or autograph signing periods or whatever the case might be. But this is now, we're talking about checks for playing. And that's where this is headed. I don't know if this is where it's going to be right off the get-go, but I can see that this is where it's going. And by the way, it was inevitable. Once the genie's out of the bottle with this stuff, this is where it's going to go. And then you're going to see this follow not only on these invitationals like this, but you're going to see these kind of things when it comes to conference tournaments, when it comes to regular season. There's going to be...
Well, yeah, you can tie the sponsors to the event to also get, you know, if you're, I don't know, the shoe brands wouldn't work because those are probably different deals. But if we always use the example of a car company, let's say you're Toyota, right? And you want to sponsor it. Well, all the athletes that are there, go be in a couple Toyota ads while you're there. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's doable. We'll get more into that in just a minute. Joining us now, Wichita State Athletic Director, good. Kevin Saul. Big week for you guys, Kevin, as we get ready for softball action, like right out of the gate here in the AAC tournament, finally coming to Wichita, where, you know, we've been excited for this opportunity for the Shockers for a long time. So here it is. It's here. Good morning.
It's here. Good morning, guys. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the show again. This has been a long time coming. I will tell you, it predates my time at Wichita State in terms of what Christy and her staff and our teams have built over the last 12, 13 years. 5 out of the last 7 NCAA regionals, 3 conference championships. It's really been building and growing for many years. And so when I got here, we talked about facility enhancements to Wilkins Stadium, and these really predated the capital plans that we have for it. So in the last two and a half years, we've invested about $2.5 million into batting cages, lights, a new dugout that will connect to the team practice facility and the team operations building on that third base side, and then new turf, artificial turf last summer. All those things were done to give us an opportunity to obviously invest in our program, provide for their needs, but it also gave us an opportunity to bid for and show our interest in American Athletic Conference softball postseason championship tournament. And so as we walked through that, obviously we had communication with our league, made our interest very, very clear from the outset when I got here. And it's been a little bit of a process. It routed through the coaches, the SWAs, and the ADs, and we were awarded it. It starts tonight, today, actually. We've got 4 games today. The Shockers play at 7. We've got 2 games tomorrow, 2 games Friday, and 1 game Saturday. So it's an awesome opportunity for us and our program to compete for championships at home, which is a distinct competitive advantage. And we're really excited about it. It's just another piece of momentum for our softball program, another being the Professional Softball League coming in this summer. We're hosting all 19 games of that Professional Softball League this summer, and most of them are on linear television. So they'll be on the ESPNUs, the ESPN2s. You're going to see that big Shocker in center field on national television for 48 to 50 hours of television coverage this summer. So a lot of good things happening for us, and we're excited about the tournament tonight.
And what's wild about that to me, I think that these opportunities are real for the success of the program too, because when I think about Oklahoma and the juggernaut that they've become, I do think that a part of the reason anyway for their success is that their facilities are so front-facing. Like, we see them all the time when we connect things to big-time softball. So I do think this translates on the field when you can do things like this.
Yeah, there's no question. At the end of the day, the Oklahomas are the Oklahomas because for decades they have maximized on every opportunity that they could find. And that's the end of the day, whether it's recruiting players, developing retention, developing staff, compensating staff, building annual operating budgets, hosting events, being aggressive with championships. That's how you build programs, is you maximize everything that you can possibly maximize within your allocated resources, and you try to grow those resources. So that's what we're doing. We're really, really excited about it, and it should be a great week of weather as well for it.
You know, Kevin, Paul Savage here, by the way. Thanks for joining the show. We sure appreciate it. But, you know, one of the things that seems to come up all the time, and I look at Wichita State softball, and I understand that there's all kinds of controversy with NIL. People are still figuring it out. Where's it going? What's it going to end up being? Wherever it is right now is not where it's going to end up being. That's, I think, we can all agree on. And we had a conversation last week. Jacob and I just so happened last week had this conversation about where this was going with major sports versus minor sports. You look at Wichita State softball. How important is NIL to, say, a sport like softball at a school like Wichita State? How important is NIL to softball at Wichita State?
NIL is important to softball. What I will tell you is it takes on a different magnitude in a sport like softball, as opposed to a football or a basketball. The things that you are reading in the media, the lawsuits, the litigation, the conversation about employees, in my professional opinion, impacts so few of the 500,000 to 600,000 student athletes that are in the NCAA system. Keep in mind, just globally, the NCAA grants and aid system, scholarships connecting education to young people, it's the second largest grants and aid system in the country, next to the GI Bill. It literally connects young people to education, career and professional development, and jobs. That's what it was intended for. And that still exists. But at the highest level of athletics, that's where you're seeing the television contracts for the football and the basketballs. That's where you're seeing this influx of significant revenue. And so the conversations that we're having about whether it's employee status or general contractors or NIL and compensation and all those things, it really impacts the tip of the iceberg when it comes to college athletics. So the conversations, we got to be careful that we're not implementing something system-wide when the issue really resides in a certain niche of that system. So what I would tell you is NIL is important to softball. Also, educational funds are important to softball. Scholarships are important. So we fully fund the scholarships for softball, room, board, books, tuition, and fees. Every student athlete gets cost of attendance, about $250 a month check. We fully fund Alston for softball, which is $6,000 a year based on academic performance. And there is some NIL that's involved with softball as well. But to be candid, not at the level of our women's basketball, men's basketball type of program. So the magnitudes are a little bit different, Paul.
Well, I think to follow that, Kevin, what's interesting, and I think your answer is really a perfect segue. So, you know, a lot of the conversations right now in the last week have been perhaps a revenue sharing model to help solve the lawsuits and all of these things. But I think the fear that most have, and it's a very obvious and probably, you know, relevant fear, is that if the money goes out like that, does it hurt the other places? Can it coexist, I guess, would be my question. Can you have these different models to pay and compensate in the bigger sports that don't come in and hurt the ability of the other sports to operate?
Yeah, I think you can. I think we can as an enterprise. Obviously, there's these historical elements that we've got to reconcile. The House case. All of those litigation pieces that are basically looking at retroactive NIL over the last 5 years or whatever the statute of limitations is. Those have to be addressed. But the most important issue in front of us is how will it be addressed in the future in such a way that it doesn't negatively impact what we're able to do across all 15, soon to be 16 sports at Wichita State. So in other words, if we're going to get into a revenue share or employee model, which I'm not advocating, I don't think that's the right place to go to get to employee status for a lot of reasons. We've got to make sure that that system doesn't negatively impact the ability for a young woman to come in and compete on our bowling team and obtain her degree. We've got 50% first-generation college students in our athletics department, so we've got a lot of young people. That's 125 of our 250 that are doing something that's never been done before in their families and likely would not have the resources to do that without the athletics aid that comes with their scholarship. And so that hasn't gone away. And so we've got to be careful that we protect that first and foremost. The other thing that, you know, you get into this employee NIL compensation conversation, well, there's taxes involved in all that. So let me paint an example for you, just a very, very simple example for you. We're a $25 million budget. We have 250 student athletes. These are approximate numbers. So on average, we're spending about $100,000 per year to support our student athletes, whether that's coaches' salaries and benefits, annual operating to include medical expenses, insurance, food, gear, travel, lodging, all of those things that we do, about $100,000 a year. Well, if you start to get into this employee conversation, that becomes a taxable benefit. Guys, the gear that I get that's got the shocker on it, the season tickets that I get as the director of athletics, those are taxable benefits. So depending on – it goes into your paycheck as income. And depending on the value of those tickets, you're gonna pay your prevailing tax rate on the value of those tickets. So imagine we're strapping these young people with a $100,000 taxable benefit. And their tax bracket's probably going to be one of the lowest, down in that 18 to 20%. So imagine young people, 50% first-generation college students, doing something that's never been done before in their family. We can provide the scholarships. We can do all of those things. But at the end of the year, come April 15th, they're going to have a $20,000 tax bill. Well, that will kill opportunities in our industry. And so we've got to make sure, you know, they might be able to scrape together in payments through NIL or other means, the ability to pay off that $18,000 to $20,000. But at the end of the day, what are you accomplishing then? You're right back to where you were, which is providing education for young people. So we got to be really careful with where this conversation goes.
Wow.
Do you think real quick, Kevin, then, because that's a great point on employee and one that we've pondered about here, is then potentially the revenue sharing idea, not employees, but just a share of the revenue somehow. And I don't know how you do both, but I think you can. Is that then become a better option in your opinion? Potentially. I know it's very early in that conversation and it may not only pertain to anything but football, but it does seem like it could potentially avoid employment status and solve the court cases that currently exist.
Well, the court cases are going to get solved before you get into, Jacob, the they're going to get solved before you get into the long-term solution. So I think there'll be two distinct lines of effort on separate timelines. But that being said, whether it's a revenue share, at the end of the day, all the different models and pathways that you're talking about, the mechanics are everything, right?
Yeah.
Where does the money come from? What does it route through? And how is it provided to the student athletes? Okay. If it's in a trust, as you probably read President Baker talk about setting aside dollars in a trust for when student athletes graduate, that may not be an employment taxable event type of income. There's going to have to be some federal involvement, whether it's from the IRS or from Congress, about designating student athletes as something. Are they employees? Are they general contractors? Are they a different category that may be created later? At the end of the day, it's about the mechanics. How do you pay them? And what is the taxable liability on that? So I think that's where the the crux of the issue lies and where we're going to have to spend our time as an industry is figuring that piece out. And again, it won't be only the NCAA and its member institutions figuring that out. It'll have to be some involvement from our government. There's have to be some involvement from agencies to help us define the pathway to make that happen.
Well, Coach, Kevin, would you mind if I switch gears? I'd like to, before we let you go, visit with you just a little about the baseball program and the success they're having. I think, where is the baseball program at with regards to your expectations? Because you're basically a 500 baseball club, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you two games that I think were instrumental in where this team is now, where they are with their growth, where they are with their projections, and that is the win against Iowa early in the year and the win in early April against the University of Kansas. Those are Big Ten. That's a Big 12. Those are wins over really good conference teams. Where are you with regards to where you think your baseball program should be?
That's a great question, and I would throw, if we want to spend a couple of seconds on the micro, I'd throw the Nebraska win in
there.
Yes,
that's very good. Correct.
Paul, that was a good
Correct.
Win.
Yes, it was.
At our place.
Yes.
And I would throw in the this last weekend. UTSA was, I
Best
think,
weekend
our league
year,
going
yeah.
into the weekend. And they had not been beaten at home in a three-game series. They had not lost a series at home to an American Athletic Conference team. And so we go in there and had a really difficult Friday. We had a couple of critical fielding errors that really determined the outcome of that game. And then because of inclement weather anticipated on Sunday, we played a doubleheader on Saturday and won 11-2 and 8-4 on Saturday, back-to-back games. And I know Brian and his staff were up until about 4 o'clock in the morning on Friday night, early Saturday morning, trying to figure out different combinations and lineups and matchups and all of those things. That's the micro of it. At the end of the day, we are a 500 club. Right now. And I think we won 30 games last year. What you'll see this year is if you compare strength of schedule, it's much, much different this year. It's much stronger this year than it was last year. I like where we're headed. We had a really tough April. And guys, I will accept some responsibility with respect to our schedule. And I think what I want to be careful about is these conversations can quickly go into where we're making excuses. Well, we're not making excuses, but there's some reality of the deal here. When you play double midweeks against Power 5 opponents and they play a single game in that midweek, that is a distinct competitive disadvantage for us. So if we play Kansas at home and then the next night we go up or we go down and play Oklahoma at their place Tuesday, Wednesday, and those two teams only have one midweek, well, they approach their pitching staffs differently. The availability of players is different. I think we all understand that piece. We've got to be smarter in that area, and I will accept responsibility on signing those contracts that put us in that position. If you're going to play a double midweek, then play a Nebraska double midweek when you know you're going to play them twice and they're dealing with the same circumstances that you are. There's things that we can do, guys. We can play four-game weekends early to pull a midweek off. Later in the year and play a four-game midweek. We've got plenty of strength of schedule available geographically. There's a much smarter and more strategic way to put that schedule together, and we will do that. It doesn't mean we're going to soften it, but it does mean that we're going to put our program in a position to be successful, like our Power 5 peers are doing. They're playing single midweeks, and they figure out other games earlier in the year. So we've got some fine-tuning to do there. At the end of the day, Paul, we had three players in the portal when we hired Brian. I thought they did a remarkable job filling out a roster. The energy, the culture has been really, really good. I've not seen one red flag as it relates to that. We've got an anonymous reporting platform that our student-athletes can submit information to us 24/7, 365. We're getting anonymous feedback from our baseball student-athletes about how great their experience is with this staff. Their parents are coming up to us and thanking us profusely for making a difficult decision. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time in the past, but I can tell you that the focus has been 100% on the young men in our program and their development and developing the relationships with those young men so that we can build some continuity and sustainability in a roster and do a good job of building a team back to a regional, which is the expectation here. So there's a lot of work to do, and it won't happen overnight, but we'll continue to get better each day.
And one.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Of the biggest names in college baseball, officially mends a bridge that had been being mended, but Gene Stephenson's gift feels significant, I think, to the future of the... Not just because it's dollars and cents, but the optics of it, Kevin, feel big from the outside. I would imagine it feels rather large on the inside, too.
Well, I'm very, very humbled by it. And I will tell you, growing up in Manhattan, in the time period that I did, there were two iconic figures. Because we grew up Wildcats, we didn't recognize the iconic figures in Lawrence. So forgive me if I leave a couple of those out. But, we saw Gene Stephenson as young people on ESPN when they started the College World Series coverage. We saw Coach Snyder building what he built. I know those two had a very, very close relationship. And so when we were blessed with the opportunity here at Wichita State, I could not wait to meet Gene and Jana. And I was a little apprehensive about the history and what had occurred here. And I can tell you this, Brent Chemnitz needs a lot of credit for this. But at the end of the day, Gene and Jana have been unbelievably welcoming to Jennifer and I and what we're trying to build with this baseball program. There's not been 1 ounce of awkward. They have welcomed us with open arms. I will regularly spend 4 or 5 innings with Gene watching a game at home, just talking baseball. Jana and I had a relationship going back to 2014 when we had a Golden Spikes and Dick Houser award winner at Kentucky. And so I've known Jana for a long time, and that relationship has been awesome. You guys read the release. This place is Gene's life's work, and I'm very humbled by an individual that fought and scratched and clawed literally for a field, for baseballs, for uniforms, and built a program that has produced one of the top 20 facilities in the country. The competitive success, the All-Americans that have come through this place, just an unbelievable job. And then to turn around and have an individual that went through all of those battles and navigated a really difficult journey and he wants to give significant funds back to the program. I'm convinced the guy would still coach if he could. He loves this program.
He attends games.
Right.
He loves this program, and I think this recent gift in the form of a $600,000 plan gift restricted to baseball and a $20,000 annual recurring NIL gift is a measure of that. It's one piece of that. But their love for this program is in the emotions, guys. And we could talk about this for a long time, but I sat with Gene and Jana for a couple hours 2 weeks ago, and Gene talked about the journey. And he really got emotional when he talked about walking through that back hallway and seeing all the All-Americans and the young man that they recruited from small towns that did some unbelievable work professionally, whether it was in baseball or not. And that's where his true heart is with the players, and just loves them to death. So it's been an awesome experience getting to know those guys.
One quick question. I asked this question on behalf of every player, every coach that ever has coached with Gene, everybody that knows Gene. How did you get a guy like Gene Stephenson to pony up $600,000 and he's never bought a meal for himself?
Well, Brent Chemnitz was actually, jokingly, of course, he was actually a little disappointed because he didn't have that narrative, that line of narrative anymore, that Gene wouldn't buy any lunch.
There you go. That's exactly right. So, and by the way, we love
that
Gene.
That line of narrative for sure.
We love Gene. But I was just wondering that. But I'll tell you what a generous gift. And I know that people always thought, well, maybe he had something against Wichita State after all the things that went down. I'm telling you right now, this proves the fact that Gene Stephenson is a shocker, will be a shocker forever. He'll live in the legacy of Shocker Athletics forever at this point.
Paul, here's the important piece. He embraced us coming in. It wasn't the other way around. He embraced us. He wanted to get to know Brian. Brian's done a remarkable job caretaking that relationship.
Right.
It has been so natural. It's been really good. And so I would maybe close this part of the conversation and say, look, it is a challenge gift, the $20,000 NIL, and it's a matching challenge gift. So the hope and goal is that we can get other folks to donate $20,000 to it to match that $20,000 and get Brian and their staff $40,000 to be able to compete in the NIL space. So want to get that out there. Would encourage folks to join the seed sowers on wheatshotcollective.com and contribute today so that we can match those funds from Gene and Jana.
Beautiful.
All right, Kevin. Well, we appreciate it. I know softball's going wild right now. Easiest place for it, weather's great. They can get tickets there at the stadium. Easiest way, or is that the best way?
Yeah, that's absolutely the best way to do is walk up and get tickets. You can call the ticket office today ahead of time, particularly for our game tonight at 7, because I would anticipate we'll have a pretty good crowd tonight.
Yep. Sounds good. Good weather. Kevin, we appreciate it. All the insight. We'll do it again in a couple weeks. Have fun out there at the tournament.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate being on the show, and go Shockers.
There goes Kevin Salt. A lot of really, really good stuff there, not just with Gene and on that, but, you know, on some of the things changing across college sports. We can get into that as we continue to look ahead at some of the latest reporting on all of that. We'll do it. We owe Jad a break on the way out. Let's give away some HTO. Two free iced tea cards, more than 25 flavors. You can get a couple at either the Wichita East or West location or in Derby. Good luck on the IHOP hotline. First caller gets a win there. We'll be back. More Sports Daily right after this.
And 1240 KFH.
Sports Daily, Jake Ballbrock, Paul Savage. We got Tommy Caster in.
Yeah,
out of his,
Tommy Caster.
Out of his big fancy meetings. Got to get taking care of business. TCB. Isn't that what Kramer called it?
Yeah. We got to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
You know, beautiful, beautiful press shirt,
thank
sport
you.
Coat. Nice slacks, polished shoes. The guy is a stud. I'm telling you that right now.
I am gorgeous. I'm gorgeous. I mean, I don't. Yeah.
Of course you are.
T-shirt and my underwear right now. Paul's lighting it up right now. And yeah, Tommy's dapper there. Not on screen, off screen for our video streamers out there. A lot of good stuff there with Kevin Saul. It was good timing as we were kind of getting into the college landscape, and he brings up good points with all of this. So the reporting now is been largely focused on a revenue sharing model Tax implications have always been complicated with all of this, and we've worried about that to some degree. The employment part is an interesting tax conundrum, and I think his points on permissible benefits are not something I had considered in the taxable thing yet, and that's probably not anything you'd want to go down if you're an athlete. I think there's a reason that we're seeing this revenue model generally, you know, remember, was it earlier this week or was it last week where the union, I think it was last week because you were with me, Paul, where the, you know, the beginnings of this college athletes that, union are like, they seemed receptive to it and never mentioned employment. And so maybe there is a way through, and I don't know how you'd revenue share it, but maybe that's a way to get the best of both worlds. Because it isn't going to impact everybody. Not everybody benefits from the TV contracts they're talking about sharing in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And Tommy,
I think it makes some sense.
Right. And Tommy, I was going to say, I remember the first time I read an article about unionizing athletes in the NCAA. The very first time I read, there was one sentence in there, glossed over, that if unionization happened with the NCAA and with college athletes, there would be tax consequences. One lousy sentence. That was all there. And I remember that sentence because obviously I'm not fond of paying taxes, just like you or Jacob or Jad or anybody. But I remember it being one sentence. And since then, it's not really been of consequences, but it sure sounds like it's starting to take root right now. There are consequences for being an employee, and there are going to be taxes. And your uncle and my uncle is going to want his money. And I'm not talking about Uncle Harold, who lives in Connecticut. I'm talking about Uncle Sam, who lives in Washington, D.C. He's going to want his money.
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest things that you have to keep in mind with all of this is that in the whole argument over the last, 40, 50 years about amateurism in college athletics is that the main argument, or one of the main arguments that proponents of keeping college sports amateur that they make is that, well, these are kids, you know, that don't have the financial wherewithal to be able to do this responsibly. Okay. So now we're shifting to a model where whether it's revenue sharing, independent contractors, NIL, employees with benefits, whatever, wherever this lands, we've shifted into a world where these quote unquote kids that need to be quote unquote protected, now you got to consider them adults. You got to consider them responsible
enough. Well, they're 18.
Enough.
They are adults. I know, but they're adults.
But for this argument, where for so long it's been, well, they're kids that need protected and, you know, that, so they don't get taken advantage of and blah, 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 blah. Well, now you have to throw that out the window, which is probably a good thing because it's been, you know, exploiting them a little bit and kind of lying about, you know, their status and all of that. But at the same time, if we end up moving into this world, I don't know about you, Jacob, but for me, like, I'm not going to feel sorry for any player that makes a bunch of money and blows it all. Like, hey, look, like, you're now in a world where there's individual responsibility, and I guarantee you not every one of them is going to be individually responsible.
That's just
a consequence for the world we're getting into.
But I think I've been unfair a little bit, too, because I do agree with that. Just give me the money and I'll figure out how to use it, right? But I do think there are components through employment of the benefits that athletes already receive, right? That they're going to be taxed on things that they're not being taxed on now, and they would receive the same thing, right? So if you're an employee and you get your dorm paid for, that's a taxable benefit. Like if
not now, but
I'm trying to like relate that. Like what have I learned in the business world? Well, I've learned that, you know, if the company helps us with childcare when we open a store, guess what? That's a taxable benefit.
Yeah.
You don't just get that help. Gotcha. Like you have to pay taxes as the person who received that benefit. So even though you're not like collecting a check for that particular thing, you can be taxed on it. The gear that they're gifted, all the, you know, the shoes and the socks and the warm-up, those are taxable benefits. In TV, sometimes in contracts, you work in a clothing allowance. You pay taxes on the money that you're given to buy those clothes, even though you're not just given that money. So I do think it's more complicated than just saying write a check. And I do understand that. And I know there's a really good point by Kevin because there are a lot of things with that. What I would like to figure out is what is the best way to just pay the appropriate taxes on basically on cash, right? Like what, and probably private contractor is the way to do that. You're written a check by XYZ. You're written a check for revenue sharing. You're written a check for this particular thing. You 1099 it. You pay your taxes on it. You move on with your life. I think that's going to be better because that's easier for anyone to understand, right? Here's the money I've got coming in. Here's the money I got to give back in taxes.
Well, you know, the main thing is I think you're going to see that you're going to see WSU and every college in America end up being one of the great withholders of taxes for student athletes because, let's face it, Jacob, not all students are going to be mature enough to say, oh, I just got a check for $500 from NIL. Well, let's see, my tax rate was 18%, so I better hold out $18. I'm going to be almost $500, $480 or whatever it works out to be. I'm going to go ahead and withhold that, put it in the bank, keep it separate so I know I need it. Tommy, not many kids are going to do that.
And that's going to be
none of those kids are going to do it.
That's going to be, I think, then the responsibility of whatever this governing body is, whatever this union body is, you know, to make sure that these athletes have the education needed. But they're not going to be able to monitor it daily.
Well the university has to.
But no, they won't.
Charlie Baker.
Like, go ahead.
Charlie Baker wants to put it in a trust, which is what he said, which makes some sense. I do think there is absolutely most of the athletes that are going to benefit from this in the biggest way. Don't you think there's benefit to them also gaining an education and how to manage all this? Because that's what they're going to do as a professional.
100%. Right? I'm just saying, like, and this might be cold and harsh of me to say this. If I'm a university president and it's being forced on me that now I have to designate these athletes as employees or independent contractors, pay them benefits, I have to pay payroll taxes on them, all of those things. Okay, you're on your own then as far as the education. Good luck to you.
That's not going to work.
You're not a kid. That you're a legal adult.
It's not going to work. It's not going to work.
That might be cold and harsh, but why isn't my responsibility as the university then
to
put guardrails in place?
But we want the best for these kids.
I agree. I think, too, that's why we're really not seeing any side anymore advocate for that avenue. I think a combination of NIL and revenue sharing, if it's all paid out as, you know, just as like, again, you're just written a check, probably makes the most sense and offers the most simple. It may not be the most like tax effective, but it's the simplest, which is what everyone would probably prefer here. This is wildly complicated. And I'm glad that these conversations are happening. Kevin Saul had really good insight on it, on the benefits piece. Go back and listen to that. You can on the Odyssey app. You can go back on the video stream. Just scroll back a little bit and listen to what he had to say about how complicated that could get through employment. Because I think it's something that I hadn't considered yet. So go back and check that out. We'll come back. I want to get back into this NIL basketball tournament real quick before we get out of here today. And then we'll get you set up for some day baseball for the Royals. Don't go away. Sports Daily. Caster, Savage, Albrecht, coming back. Welcome back in, everybody. About 10 minutes to go here on Sports Daily. Appreciate everybody joining in on the program. So we started this conversation at the top of the hour. We'll finish it. So this NIL basketball tournament may not include Kansas then in year one, but probably in year two. The details of it largely being worked out, it looks like they can do it and keep compliance with the NCAA. So if it happens, look, it opens the door a lot, I think, in basketball. I don't know how it would relate to football as much, but in basketball, if the NIL sponsors can get involved in this and then find ways for those athletes that are participating to promote their brands or do whatever, it seems pretty simple to me. The funding for it comes from a group that maybe has some of the ties to the Saudi investor. I don't know all that part of it yet. I think that's still being worked out. But the bottom line is somebody wants to put on a big old basketball tournament in Vegas and pay the athletes to come play in it. Mm. Doesn't sound like a bad deal to me.
What's the benefit to the universities? You know, if the players are the ones that are going to make the money and everything, what's the benefit of the universities to be a part of it?
Part of it is
bring
image.
In the players. It's a recruitment.
Okay.
It's image.
It's a recruitment massive haul for these universities because you can say we're playing in this tournament.
Oh, goodness. It's pretty good. Now, financially, I'm not sure, but obviously there's a TV contract involved. Where there's a TV contract involved, there's going to be a percentage of something go to somebody. That's for sure. And when you look at the schools, you know, what's one of the common denominators on most of these schools, other than, say, Rutgers? I'm not sure their finances. But, you know, the finances for these athletic departments for most of the schools in this tournament is pretty salty. It's pretty good. It's kind of up there.
They're already going to play in the tournaments, right? Of
everybody that's playing in this tournament, other than maybe a Rutgers, the finances are pretty darn good, aren't they? Oh, and by the way, I saw a deal, and this was on Facebook. I don't know how true this is. Calipari, for instance, how big is this getting? Calipari was obviously, you know, wooed to Arkansas, and he made the move in a smart move. Guys, do you know how much he was guaranteed? And now this is according to Facebook, so put whatever the value put on it. How much do you think he was told he could have in NIL money just for his basketball team alone? Any guesses?
I don't know.
I have
15
no idea.
Million.
Okay.
Now, that works out to be what? 1.2 million per player that's on scholarship, something like that? I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
15 million.
Sometimes I think these numbers are inflated. I got to be honest.
Well, that might be, and it might be. But the point is that the number was a number that I believed. Now, you know, 5 years ago, if you said, you know, Kyle Perry's going to have $15 million to woo players, I'd have thought, well, he's not going to last long on not being on probation there, is he? But now I look at that and I think, because I see the numbers being, you know, thrown around to local players in football in particular, not necessarily basketball and football. I see the numbers being thrown around. These numbers are real numbers, Tommy. They're real numbers.
Yeah, but they ain't $1.2 million.
No, but they're six digits. They're six digits.
Sure. So, for some players, maybe. But I don't think you'd ever see big-name players transfer away if they were making $1.2 million.
Boy, that would be a heck of a...
transfer away all
the time. That would be tough.
Nobody's walking away from a milli. Yeah. That ain't going to happen. Yeah. I'll sit my happy butt right on that bench and collect my paycheck.
There you go.
So I think sometimes those numbers get a little inflated. Now, for the upper echelon, sure. I think it's probably even more than that, quite frankly. But like an average, no, I don't think that's the case at all. 869-1240, we'll come back, we'll wrap it up, tell you what's on the network today when we return on Sports Daily.
Spring is in the air, and that means one thing. Dandelions are coming. Don't let those annoying yellow weeds invade your lawn again. This year, trust your lawn to Ryan Lawn and Tree. This is Larry Ryan. No other lawn care company delivers the results that Ryan Lawn and Tree delivers. More than just providing a beautiful dandelion-free lawn. Your trusted pros in the clean red trucks make sure your entire landscape is healthy, strong, and ready to look great no matter what nature throws at it. And unlike the other guys, the pros at Ryan Lawn & Tree are employee owners, full-time professionals going above and beyond every day with five-star customer service. Call us or click RyanLawn.com today. And as a new customer, you'll save 50% on your first lawn application. Enjoy a worry-free, effort-free, dandelion-free lawn this year with Ryan Lawn & Tree.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code BUZZER and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's code BUZZER. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Remember to use code BUZZER. That's code BUZZER. And receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Place your money line, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Kansas only. New customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Are you disabled and needing resources to help you live independently in your home? Independent Living Resource Center, located at 3033 West 2nd Street North, is your resource center for information and resources to help you keep your independence. We provide information on accessible housing, cooking classes, computer and budgeting classes, and peer support groups. For more information, call 942-6330 and let us help you stay independent. Empowering people with disabilities.
Clear and sunny this afternoon with winds from the north and a high of 79.
Weather brought to you by Staples. Staples stores have great prices on all the products and services for your small business or remote workers and learners. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Todd is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Todd, and I live in Georgia. I'm a veteran of 23 years. I love to give back to the community, whether it's my fellow veterans, a guy on the street corner. I offer what I can when I can. I started noticing that my memory was slipping, and I wanted to take proactive measures to try to help that. I saw a Prevagen commercial, and I did some research on it, and I wanted to find out if this stuff really worked. I started taking Prevagen about 3 years ago. Since taking Prevagen, I feel clearer in my thoughts, my memory has improved, and generally just more on point.
Prevagen is available in stores everywhere without a prescription. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Testimonialist is compensated for their time.
The KFH Studios, powered by Devon James Injury Lawyers. Call 888-8888.
That's 888-8888.
College softball, the American Conference Tournament for the first time ever, is being held in Wichita. All the action at Wilkins Stadium for a four-day event featuring all 10 teams in the conference. A single elimination tournament. Four games on tap today. Final game of the day in prime time at 7 o'clock tonight. Number 4 seed Wichita State taking on number 9 seed UTSA. Wichita State head coach Christy Breadbenner.
It's kind of nice having it in the Midwest because I think there's a lot of Midwest kids in this league, and so hopefully it's something that we can put on a good show this weekend. I hope the fans come out. Like you said, the games are at a tough time on Thursday and Friday, but if you want to watch softball, the next 4.5 weeks are the best softball of the season, and it's live or die, and hopefully the Shocks can stay alive all week.
The winner of the American Conference Tournament gets the automatic bid into the NCAA Tournament. The American Conference Softball Tournament right here in Wichita at Wilkins Stadium starting today. I'm Ted the Sports Head!
Hello, Wichita. Start your day laughing with the Bob and Tom Show. Find us mornings right here on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, that's it for us, everybody. Thanks for being here. We've got some programming here, Infinity Sports Network, from 11 to 1, Jim Rome today. And then it's Royals baseball as they try to bounce back with Brady Singer. Really disappointing, costly for some of us, loss in the ninth inning last night. Need James MacArthur to get back in the groove here. That's a couple rough starts for him in a row. So we'll do that. Paul and Tommy will take it for you tomorrow. I'll be back with Rockin' Rick Regan on Friday. So we're bouncing around a little bit the rest of the week. Thanks for being here, everybody. For Paul, Tommy, Jad, I'm Jacob. See you tomorrow.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH. KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.